Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Limitarianism: The Case Against Extreme Wealth by Ingrid Robines is a nonfiction work of political philosophy and public ethics that examines whether there should be hard upper limit on personal wealth, drawing on philosophy, economics, political theory, and public policy. Robines argues that extreme wealth is not simply an unfortunate side effect of capitalism, but a serious moral and social problem. The book is not a general critique of inequality in the abstract. Instead, it focuses on the point at which wealth becomes excessive and asks why any individual should be allowed to accumulate far more than they could reasonably need. Its purpose is both analytical and normative to explain why extreme wealth is harmful and to defend limitarianism as a practical ideal for designing fairer institutions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, limitarianism as a moral limit on wealth, not a demand for total equality. Robines introduces limitarianism as the idea that there should be an upper threshold on personal wealth. Much like poverty lines establish a lower threshold for basic social protection, the book does not argue that everyone should have the same amount, nor does it deny legitimate differences in income or assets. Its claim is narrower and more distinctive beyond a certain point. Accumulating more wealth loses moral justification. This matters because many debates about inequality focus only on the poor or on minimum living standards, while leaving extreme fortunes untouched. Robines shifts the question to the legitimacy of surplus wealth itself. By doing so, she reframes redistribution as a structural issue rather than a matter of charity. The argument also challenges the assumption that wealth automatically tracks merit, effort, or contribution. Instead, it treats limitarianism as a principled boundary within which private ownership remains possible, but excessive accumulation does not. Secondly, why extreme wealth is harmful, even when poverty is the more visible problem. A central part of the book is the claim that extreme wealth creates damage in multiple domains, not just in relative terms, but in direct social consequences. Robines argues that enormous fortunes are often associated with unfair advantage, distorted opportunity, and weak democratic accountability. Wealth at the top can buy influence, shape policy agendas, and intensify political inequality, making formal democracy less equal in practice. She also connects excessive wealth to environmental harm, since very rich lifestyles and investment patterns can increase consumption and emissions far beyond sustainable levels. The book further argues that holding on to vast sums is often psychologically and socially unproductive, because money beyond a certain level has sharply diminishing value for well-being. This is one of the book's key moves. It shows that the problem is not only that some people have too little, but that some people have so much that it becomes socially costly. That broader framing makes the case against extreme wealth easier to understand as a public interest argument rather than a resentment-based one. Thirdly, the six reasons Robines gives for limiting wealth accumulation. Robines structures much of her case around a set of reasons that support a wealth cap. These include the moral problem of dirty fortunes, the role of luck in wealth accumulation, diminishing marginal utility, political inequality, ecological sustainability, and the limited contribution of extreme wealth to happiness. Each reason attacks a different justification for letting wealth grow without limit. Dirty fortunes point to the ways some wealth is built, through exploitative or socially harmful practices. Luck shows that outcomes in markets are not purely deserved, since inheritance, timing, institutional advantages, and social background shape success. Diminishing marginal utility suggests that additional millions matter much less to a billionaire than moderate sums matter to ordinary households. Political inequality shows that excessive wealth can convert economic power into public power. Ecological sustainability adds a planetary constraint, while happiness research weakens the claim that more wealth always means more flourishing. Together, these reasons make the argument cumulative rather than dependent on any single principle. The book is persuasive because it shows that even if one reason seems insufficient, the others still support the broader conclusion. Fourthly, how wealth concentration weakens democracy and distorts public priorities. One of the book's strongest practical claims is that extreme wealth is not just privately excessive. It changes the operation of society. Robines argues that when very large fortunes are concentrated in a small number of hands, those individuals can shape political outcomes through lobbying, donations, media ownership, and agenda-setting power. This creates a gap between formal democratic equality and actual influence. The result is a system in which public policy can become more responsive to wealth holders than to ordinary citizens. The book also implies that excessive wealth narrows collective imagination because societies dominated by extreme affluence tend to normalize inequality instead of asking whether the distribution itself is legitimate. Robines does not reduce democracy to elections alone. She treats it as a broader condition of political equality, social trust, and shared rule. That is why the case against extreme wealth is inseparable from the case for stronger institutions. more progressive taxation, and public decision-making that is insulated from private domination. In this sense, libertarianism is presented as a democratic reform, not merely an economic proposal. Lastly, from critique to policy, a practical wealth cap and the use of excess resources, Robines does not stop at moral criticism. She discusses what a wealth cap could mean in practice and treats libertarianism as a regulative ideal that policy can move toward even if no society fully achieves it overnight. The book raises questions such as where the cap should be set, how excess wealth would be collected, and what would happen to the resources that are released. Public discussion around the book often cites a range such as 1 million to 10 million as a possible threshold, but the deeper point is that any cap must be justified in relation to social goals and institutional context. The practical logic is redistribution wealth above the limit should be redirected toward poverty reduction, public goods, climate action, and other collective needs. Robines also anticipates familiar objections, including fears about innovation, freedom, and economic harm, and she argues that these concerns are not decisive against setting limits. The policy dimension is important because it distinguishes the book from purely diagnostic inequality critiques. It asks not only what is wrong, but what a fairer system would actually do with surplus wealth. In conclusion, this book will be most useful for readers interested in political philosophy, inequality, public policy, taxation, and climate justice. It is especially relevant for academics, students, policymakers, and general readers who want a serious argument for why wealth concentration should be treated as a design problem rather than a natural feature of modern economies. The main benefit of the book is that it gives a coherent framework for thinking about the moral limits of private wealth, while also engaging with implementation questions that are usually avoided in theoretical writing. Compared with broader inequality books, it stands out because it does not only defend redistribution in general, it makes the more radical and more specific claim that society should place an upper bound on how much wealth any one person can own. That makes it a distinctive contribution to current debates about capitalism, democracy, and sustainability. Readers will come away with a sharper vocabulary for discussing extreme wealth, stronger arguments for reform, and a clearer sense of why wealth limits are presented as both ethically defensible and politically urgent. If you would like to support Ingrid Robines, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.